Hey, and welcome to the Parenting on Purpose podcast, your podcast to mirror your self-development journey with your parenting journey, because it is amazing what can be accomplished with a little bit of purpose. We hope you enjoy. Welcome to Parenting on Purpose.
All right, parents, we are back. Welcome back to Parenting on Purpose. I have Mr. M. Aurelius Higgs with me today. Marcus is a communications coach for parents of preteens. And the focus of today's entire podcast is really going to be about helping nurture your preteen's potential to help them cope with life stressors and to really have a successful start to life.
So, hey, Caitlin, Marcus, welcome to the show. How are you? Here. It took a long time coming, but when we arrived, it was wonderful. Many pleasant surprises. And I'm looking forward to this conversation.
I really am too. I've enjoyed our pre-chat. You have great energy about you. And I just think the focus and the age specifically that you help coach parents on is so imperative. So it's going to be really fun to kind of dig into that a lot and explore your journey and give our parents some tips and some functional things that they can bring into their day-to-day with their families. That's why we're here. So Marcus, start us off by telling our audience one thing that you do every day to show up on purpose.
One thing I do every day is gratitude at the beginning of the morning. And the beautiful thing about gratitude is it's seeing how something outside of yourself is working, taking the initial action for the working of your well-being. And you didn't ask your heart to beat. You didn't ask for this to be done or that to be done, yet it was done even before you asked. And when you approach life with that outlook or that frame, it fills you up with love to know that you're being taken care of from the outside in. And then you start to act for others. And it's a virtuous cycle of gratitude and love. So that's what I try to prime at the beginning of the day, understanding how life is pouring into me. Like, universe has sent us nothing but messages, messengers.
Yes. Oh, I love that. It's so true. It's like the way that you prime your brain, right? Like if you're ever like super into binge watching an episode, like a TV show, whether it's like, I don't know, whatever your flavor is, like Bridgerton or Cobra Kai or Vikings or whatever, like you really start to think in the frame of reference of your characters. Like life is no different. We are our own character. And if you can wake up every day and say like, look at all the things that had to go right for me to be here today on this podcast with Marcus, right? Like, I don't have to think about breathing. It just happens. I don't have to like orchestrate being a certain distance from the sun. I can just show up and be here. Like it really is a very supportive environment. And when you can think of it that way, I see what you're saying. You kind of start higher on the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So now you're able to really be there for others. That's beautiful. What a beautiful practice. I love it. So I'm fascinated with the preteen focus. You are specifically in that 10 to 14 year frame, and you're really working with parents to help us better communicate with our preteen kids. So I know you were a teacher internationally. I know you've traveled a bit and you're taking the practices that you've gathered from several different countries and you've brought them back to help educate parents and make that connection point easier. So tell us a little bit about why this age group, what you learned in your travels and kind of why you focus there.
Very simply, life is about growth and expansion, I believe, right? Growth is a stress response. When we experience stress, we grow. All right. Now, you can only really grow you can only really learn if there are two things in place. When one, you feel secure, and two, you feel loved. And when I say love, that means, you know, nurturing will come when you grow because you're pushing against something, you're being stressed, right? But if you know that, you know when the stressor is coming, you know that you can handle it. And if you feel you can't handle it, you know there's support. Then you feel okay to still expand and try and be curious and go out. And that's how growth happens. With me so far? Does this make sense?
Love it.
So now,
oh, for sure.
You have this kid who's a dependent, 0 to 10, and you're helping them grow inside the small incubator, if you will. But then you know independence is the natural step of life. So they have to move from dependent into independence. And in that, you need to let loose of the reins. You need to become the coach on the side, the guide on the side, the coach, right? As opposed to their manager. And it's how do you make this
for sure
and that they understand it. And this is why the teens and preteen years are tumultuous. Teens specifically, yeah. But I work with preteens because if you do the groundwork during this time, you can make a smooth transition. It's smart. Because trust is built over time. And it's how do you instill trust at this age when you know they're going to explore and get other ideas. And when you know there's going to be the rub there, you know it's coming. But what you're doing is really, you're ahead of the game. So that's why I work with who I work with. And like I told you before, I believe, again, life is telling us, is asking us, who are you? And we answer, I am, blah, 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 blah. When we gain independence, life is asking us, who are you? Who are you? We're scared, so then we find our group of friends who are like us, who are also scared as preteens. But then life asks for you, and they say, okay, I'm not like them. I'm not this. And life is asking, who are you? And you eventually say, I am. And then that's the cycle of life. This always happens during a transition or during a breaking. If you lost a job, if you lost a partner, if you lost a parent or something. This first transition, if you help them write that narrative and support them through it, it changes the way in which they face this narrative again and again and again. And that's how you build robustness or resilience. So that's why I chose this specific age.
Yeah, there's so many fun things I want to play with here. Like, you know, I'm in my 30s, but you always hear about like ego deaths and certain things, like you have to die onto yourself in one area to like be the phoenix, right? Arise from the ashes and to really understand. But so in Africa, they have this term, and I think it plays really nice to what you just said, Ubuntu, right? It's like, I see you. And it's not just like, I see you, like I'm looking at you and I see your awesome hair and your glasses. Like, it's more just like, I recognize that by looking at you, I can see all the things that we are together in common and also what we are different. And in doing so, all the bifurcation of that, I can see who I am in juxtaposition to who you are. And obviously, our 10-year-old will not have that vernacular. But that's the beautiful thing about parenting these kids, because we can watch them go through these understanding and even without words, we see the light kind of clicked for them, and that helps us grow as parents. So I love that. There are several things that I want to ask more about. You mentioned like the trust component. So developing trust is really imperative at that age as they're going through this initial breaking, this initial who am I phase. So talk to us about what that looks like with coaching your parents. How do we develop that trust? I'm sure it's like a type of a daily practice thing. What does that look like?
Trust is built on three things. Trust is built that the person actually knows what they're doing. So in knowing that they have the skills, then they know that, what is it now? There's also a caring component. They're actually looking out for your well-being. And then it makes sense to you. So a person can tell you that they can do something, but if it doesn't really make sense, like you don't really vibe with it, you can't identify with it, you don't necessarily trust them. Now, hold this for somebody on the outside looking in. That's how you build trust for another person. The thing we need to do is, how do we transfer that trust into the person now so that they know, oh, I know that I can do, I have a track record and it makes sense to my approach. And I know that I'm working out for my well-being. Because what happens at this age, there's a lack of trust. There's a lack of confidence. Confidere means with the trust. That's where the roots comes from. And the reason there's a lack of trust is because they were dependent. And they're growing into independence. So they really know, there is no experience, lived experience of them doing. They don't know how to care for themselves or what care for themselves looks like. So one thing that we touched on in the pre-interview is our expectations at this age. I expect a kid to be awkward, but it's only awkward if you make it. And when you can help them make sense of the awkwardness, it's like, hey, boo, you're going to be okay. And I'm here to support you through. And that puts the mind at ease. And that's when you become a trusted advisor. It's when I know that I can come to you and you're not the source of my seemingly threat, but I know you're the source of my composure or regulation. It's just like, oh yeah, I know that I'm settled when I come back to you. And that's how you build a strong attachment, or that's how you build trust, a trusted advisor.
So this is so good. So there's two types of trust. One is going to be trusting you as the parent, the advisor, the coach, the sounding board, the safe place. Or like the way I like to look at it in our family is like the shoulder to shoulder. Like, I want to be next to you shoulder to shoulder walking through life. And yes, I might be older and have a mortgage and all the other stuff, but like, we're still doing this together and having fun, right? So that. Then that's really beautiful. It's like there's the self-efficacy, inherent trust in thyself. What do I believe I can do? And these are all up to us as parents to help them, lead them in a place, not necessarily like lead them, like hold their hand, but like I look at it as creating a safe space. If we're creating the space for them, then they're going to feel like it's okay to fail and grow and learn. I know you mentioned in the pre-call, like, we can't look at our 4-year-old or 10-year-old and expect them to do things as well as we do as 30, 40, 50, whatever we are. Obviously, we have different life experience. And that's not really the point. The point is to see where they are, what's their baseline, where is their impetus. Are they someone who is high assertion and they do want to grow? Are they someone who more enjoys, you know, different things? And I think that's what makes parenting so challenging is, first of all, like, I don't know how many people you know that, like, they got it all figured out for themselves, because I'll be honest and say very few. But now you have these little souls running around in front of you, and, you know, you're somehow expected to, like, understand to, like, make a pillar or, like, a filter to separate the two. Mm-hmm. Not impossible, but that's why I love this type of interaction on these podcasts, because these episodes help me to remember that during my day-to-day life. So I love that. So the two type of trust, that's very cool, because it's different than what I thought you were going to say. So I love that.
Kids move towards your expectations. And I made the argument for why I thought she was capable of doing something. You can't be what you can't see. And if there's not an argument for it in the world, like, you won't believe it. So I will hold this for you until you do. And I love how you said that. So two bits of trust. Yeah. I will hold your confidence until you take it on as your own.
And that's what a real parenting should be, right? Just like, it's standing on the shoulders of giants. So be the giant. We have that, you know, we have that choice. What is the saying? It's like so simple. It was like on a workout the other day, like in the like little break in between the workout, it was like, to the world, you may just be a mom, but to your kids, like, you are the world, right? And yeah, we're out there trying to do all of our things, start our businesses, take our college courses while we're parents, and we're in the struggle ourselves. But you got to remember that. And I think that's why parenting is so precious, because it just gives you that finality to life. Like, this is such a spectacular time. My brother, he's a CEO of a company and incredibly successful. And he always says, these are the good old days. Like, these are the days that we're going to look back on and say, oh, those were the good old days. But these are them right now. So let's be present enough to see that. Yeah, I love that. That's so good. It's the whole concept of like the ego death and the breaking. You call it the breaking. So this is like the first time in a kid's life where they're starting to see like I'm different, or is that good or bad? And there's a lot of identity crisis happening there. I have a 4-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 4-month-old. So I can definitely attest with my 4-year-old. It happens a lot sooner than that, but I think probably the 10 to 14 phase is when it really starts to settle within like the subconscious. And like, then you said it sets them up for the rest of life. So let's talk about how parents are supposed to support there with this breaking, and what that looks like with communication with our child, and helping them to decipher where they want to be when they come out of the other side of one of these breakings.
Another way to say it is, everything that eventually grows must first break. The question is, does the breaking come from the inside, or does the breaking come from the outside? Just like with an egg, or just like with a seed, if the breaking comes from the outside, there's death. But if the breaking comes from the inside, life emerges. So what we do as parents, and as educators, we create the context for growth to take place, to nurture it out of them. Like, that's all our responsibility is to create it around. And we may, again, nurture them with thoughts on the inside, but they have to make that effort. Because if they don't make that effort, they can't claim it as their own. So, and if you get at a very cerebral level, this is cells in the mind is formed. They split, and then they understand they're part of the whole, and they start working towards a whole. I said that very as a metaphor, and the guy was like, oh, you mean diversity and inclusion? I said, without putting any titles on it, that's just how nature works. Oh, wow. Nature works by differentiating and then integrating. And that comes from Dr. Dan Siegel. Any parenting book he writes is wonderful. But we separate, recognize, and hold dignity for the other people in the system, and then we see how we contribute to the whole.
Yeah, very simple.
Just as I said, they're dependents moving into independence, but that's not the final form. The final form is interdependence. I promise to take care of me to be in service to you, if you promise to take care of you to be in service to me. Moving towards our different things,
That's really beautiful. Like, that is said as if like it's so intentional from the top down. And I just feel like as adults, we're still going through that.
Always. It's continual.
Right?
It's a cycle.
So to be in support, of course. Right. So took a look at your framework. Right. And I know like you time and the you component is big. So I'll tee this up and then you can tie it in, Marcus, however you feel is in service, because you're already brilliant. So whatever you do is perfect. But I think of it as we're intended to go through this process together. We're intended to go through our own coming apart and then coming together to reintegrate at the same time as we're expected to support our children, even though they're at a very different level of it. Baseline, it is very similar. They're going through their identity. They're deciphering who they want to be and grow into. And in a way, I find it really beautiful because by us continuing to strive for things as adults, to fail and to learn and to fail forward and grow, we're showing them that, like, you know, life is not something that just plateaus and then we're done and it's kind of boring and stagnant. You mentioned something early on in the call, and it reminded me of, like, the person who does whatever they do for vocation, and, like, their kid either sees them and says, I'm going to be like that. That's the type of parent I want to be, or spouse or wife, husband, friend, whatever, or you don't want to be like that. That is who I don't want to be like. Those are the things I don't want to integrate in my life. So I just found that really funny, but it's like, we're going through these cycles next to each other, but very different. So talk to me about how that all integrates to come together in the family unit. I know the you time, the you framework is very important. So however you want to tie that together, I'm high level interested in how the family dynamic can be in best service when there are multiple people going through their own cycles of breaking and rebirth and growing.
It's getting hot over here. I had to turn off the fan to make sure.
These are big questions. Yeah.
Trust me, it's not the questions. It's just here in the Bahamas. It's beautiful, but it's hot. Yeah. So I say I work with the parents to help get their mask on first, because they need to be supported. They need to be integrated or be held together, because the kid is losing their stuff. And stuff is not necessarily the S word I would use, but they're losing, they're being dysregulated. As the parent is kept together, then they learn to vibe off of each other, all right? To speak in terms of vibrations, if you will. So that's why I help them. And it's as you said, you're trying to figure your stuff out while your kid is trying to figure out their stuff on a smaller level. Now, another thing we say in education, to teach is to learn twice. I 100% agree with you. I believe the reason we're asked to serve people, to be nurturing and to help them learn about who we are and how we ourselves, because we are willfully going out of this effort. It's not life asking yourself, then who are you? It's you asking yourself, who am I? The way it's brought back to the family, you rarely get time to catch a breath in the middle of all. The way we would process stress back when we were tribes and so on, you could read about this in Bruce Perry and Oprah Winfrey's book, What Happened to You? But the way we process stress is in community. We're not asked to do it by ourselves. And we would have communication with our peers, with our elders, and with the next generation. And when you have that communication, you get different perspectives of it, and it'll help you understand it better. Again, making sense inside your head. There's so many threads to pull there. Did I satisfy your question?
So in terms of the family unit, right? It takes a village for sure. And then that's why, you know, like having great community or church or neighbors or sports or whatever that is for you is so important. But let's talk about the nuclear family or within the walls of, you know, a certain house. What are some conversation points? What are some touch points? What are some ways to help foster that environment so that we can all come together in communion, regulate our stress, talk about our day? I would just love to hear your perspective on how that can look.
And all behavior comes from identity. You could look at James Clear, or you could look at anybody, but behavioral science. But all action comes from, oh yeah, I am fill in the blank, therefore I fill in the blank. Now that's at an individual level.
Yep.
One definition of culture by Seth Godin is people like us do things. There's a family culture, there's a school culture, there's a church culture, right? It's people like us do things. So being intentional on creating that culture in the home, and the way you're intentional is by actually having those conversations, one. Two, creating rituals around that. Rituals by themselves are without meaning, but it's the meaning that we attribute to it. How is this contribute? Having those conversations, creating rituals, and then again, when they act in that regard, say, oh yeah, that is like you. You're reaffirming their identity. You're reaffirming at a family level and at an individual level. One clip from Into the Universe, his mom's from, and she said, our family doesn't run from things. It's just reaffirming. That's our identity.
Yeah. Love it. Yep. People like us do things like this. We did this segment in season one where we did a family vision and mission statement, and it was so beautiful. The responses we got from listeners and what they've decided was important to them as a family is so cool. People like us do things like this. I love it. So within each household, the framework can be different, and that is totally fine. That's up to what feels in service to your family. And it feels like a good place to just invite people to play, do some research on different frameworks, and then let your kids and you be a part of developing what that is for your life. I can't think of any better way of giving them the interdependence and helping, like allowing them to help the whole, right? In any small way possible.
There's conflict in every relationship, but what defines the relationship is not the conflict. It's how we manage it. Yeah.
I love that. So in the talks about frameworks, I know that you have this certain framework that you work with your parents, the show up framework. I feel like you integrated parts of it, but I'd love for you to highlight what that is, how it's used, your experience with that.
So S is it starts with a strong identity. Then H is hold space for collaboration and critical thinking. Oftentimes when people are going through problems, they think what's wrong. When you're falling short of an expectation, it's one of us. Either one, you don't have the skills for it, and they're kids. They don't have the skills yet. They don't think so. Or two, they don't feel supported in making an effort towards that. Right. There's actually a third one, which is actually they don't care, which is viable, which is actually true. They don't care about it. And those are conversations to have. But if they care about it, the kids actually want to, they want to be contributors, like positive contributors to the family whole, into society.
Yeah.
So then you...
For sure.
Really, this is called collaborative problem solving or autonomy supportive parenting, if you want to look that up. But hold space for collaborating together. And we try it for a time. And if it doesn't work, then we revisit it. We have another conversation. O is open up space for... W is wander and explore this world together. That means committing to long-term projects. Self-determination theory. But what's something you want to do that's long-term, that's effortful, that we can't give up on? And this comes from Angela Duckworth's book, Grit, where... I decide on maybe having this podcast or having a business. You decide on learning a language or taking up the sport. And it gives us a common ground to talk about human development, how we're growing and how we're managing our stresses. And then UP is unveil your potential, meaning celebrate. Celebrate whenever you live into your identity, whenever you're doing something that's like you, just say, we don't celebrate enough.
For sure. So I'm Italian and we've gone to Italy several times. I know, right? It's always good food. Who doesn't like gelato and pizza and pasta? But, you know, when you go visit a place, and I know you've spent time in Korea and several different countries, like you just understand there are so many beautiful things about the American culture or every culture across the world. But then there's like the areas where I feel like we just don't take time to celebrate the smallest thing. The concept to me of taking 2 hours in the middle of the workday, of like the golden hours, to just take a break and go home and actually like connect with your family. Like that was so beautiful when I saw it in practice and saw businesses thrive with that mentality versus us where we figure like we got to go, you know, eat on the go, don't sit. Yeah. It's like, we don't recharge our batteries. And then, you know, it depends if you're like a productivity kind of enthusiast the way I am. It's like, you're kind of going for longer, but with a smaller battery than if you were to go shorter periods and be really fully engaged in what you're doing, because, you know, you're already sewing into yourself and your family. Yeah. So I'm so in agreement with that.
On that, if your principle is emergent, whatever comes forth, you really don't know what's going to come forth. Where your trust is in yourself to meet it, and trust in your higher self, higher power and support system.
Exactly.
To figure out, okay, what's, I don't know the details. Stepdaughter, or even the idea of you moving here, but it's like, I'm trusting myself to take this next step, and whatever comes forth, I trust in what has brought me here to take me through it. And that's where I'm trying to build confidence within the parent of, yeah, you got this, because that builds confidence in your kid of, yeah, I don't know what's going to come forth, but I got this.
Exactly. And so we started the podcast with intentionality, and this is parenting on purpose. So like, we need to be purposeful. If we can parent on purpose, if we can show up and do one thing every day on purpose, then we can be more purposeful parents. And that's why I always ask our guests what's something they do on purpose. And your answer was great. And again, it comes full circle. which was priming your brain for gratitude and exploration. I will extrapolate, because that is very much how you teach, which is probably why I like you so much, because that is how I learn. And so it's very like creates the space I need to flourish, which is what we were supposed to do as parents. But what you just mentioned was instilling confidence in the parents so that they can in turn instill confidence in the child. And again, it's having the, you brought it into like the self-efficacy component where it's like, I got this, I can do it, I trust that it'll all be okay. But again, that those can be learned behaviors, just like focusing on gratitude. I could say to myself like, oh, this is all the stuff I have going on today, and kind of really put myself in this tiny box to a point where like everything feels very overwhelming, or on purposefully, intentionally, I can choose to say, wow, you know, I've moved across the country, I've adopted this beautiful kid, I've done this, I've done all this crazy stuff, I had this field business, I had this success, and like, I'm still here. I'm thriving, I'm learning, I'm growing and doing the things I want to do. Like, it's kind of amazing how much you can mess up and still be good. Like, I'm just throwing it out there. We look at it like we got to be perfect, and then everything has to be like, you know, like I always say Pinterest perfect. So like, evidently that's my modality. That's the social media I'm on the most, I guess. But like, it doesn't, like, and life is not supposed to be. It's supposed to be messy and fun. Like, look at nature. Like, nature is beautiful chaos. Look at a lightning storm. Look at the way trees grow. Like, if you've ever seen a bougainvillea plant, like, perfect example of what you were saying. If you give that thing space, you can't contain it. It'll go everywhere. But if you stifle it of sunlight, or, you know, you overwater it, it's going to shrivel because it needs ideal conditions, just like kids. So it's just understanding what those are. But I love that you did that, because it's so full circle. And there doesn't need to be a perfect answer. Well, you know, it's just understand that it's all here.
This,
it's
meant to be. And this comes back to the creator question, right? Do you want? We have to answer it. I do believe, and this comes TED, the empowerment dynamic. Drawing a blank on his name right now, but look it up, TED, the power and empowerment dynamic. You're either a creative, or you're a victim of where life happens to you, or you're being intentional, as you say, on purpose, the name of the podcast, on what you're creating. And in both frameworks, either the creator or the victim, you have challenges or you have problems. Problems are insurmountable. Challenges are something I can grow from. And then also you who is a mentor or guide, or you have someone who is a rescuer. A rescuer says you can't do it, and they take it away from you. A mentor or guide says, you got this, I know you can do it. So it's like, which framework do you want to... When you ask yourself, what do I want? What comes, the ups and downs, you know what you're focused on, what you want, and you still make an effort towards it because you know it's part of the process. But if you're in a victim mindset, whatever comes, you're going to be like, woe is me. It's all against me. And you lose your purpose. That's how you're not purpose. You're not parenting on purpose. You're not living life on purpose. You're just drifting. Yeah.
Drifting, right? I remember that Carnegie book when I was in like college. But there's a... I learned this same concept in terms of Loki of control. There's an internal Loki of control. I create, you know, exactly. I create my, you know, AD and Sunny. I create my environment. And then there's an external Loki of control. The government, the, you know, gasoline, this price, like you let the external factors differentiate how your life will go that day or whatever it is. And I think it's worth noting, like, I've probably been both. And I think we're supposed to be, right? Because that's how we can reemerge and learn and grow. But I love how you said, like, ask who you are and who you want to be. The long, you mentioned long-term goals. What do you want? Beautiful. So I think that's a really fun thing you can integrate to your kids. Probably takes a little bit, depending on their age, a little bit of context laid.
Age appropriate.
Right? But also, like, and let them have space to be fun, right? My son just did that first day of school VPK picture, and he's like, I want to be a policeman. I'm like, okay, cool, right? Like, that's awesome. He's never mentioned that before. So whether the kid next to him chose policeman or he saw my neighbor going out to work and his all uniformed up, and exactly, he's like, that's it. Chase is on the case. Whatever it is, that can change. But why do you want to be? What about that is alluring to you? And then just exploring, right? Without limitation. I love that. So one last question for you, and then I'll have you bring us home and wrap us up. But positive self-talk and affirmations. These are very popular in the media now. My son goes to a ninja warrior camp, and they say, I am confident, I am strong, I can do this. And then they're teaching these little kids to like do like kick-ups and like pretty hard stuff. So I want to get on the phone. I'm like, can the parents go? I'm like, this looks great. No, but no. Okay, just kidding. I'm totally that mom. But I love the concept of that. And also feel like you would have a very healthy perspective on positive self-talk, mm-hmm. ways that can look, or maybe just challenge like the common belief with it. So what are your thoughts on that? How do you people integrate
positive self-talk actually can be a disservice. And remember, we are the stories we tell ourselves. Mm. So if a kid is finding evidence and examples where they're not living into that positive talk, then it creates a disc. I try to get ahead of it by saying, wow, you are confident because, and then you fill in the blank of an action that they took. So now what you're doing is you're giving evidence and evidence for why they are that. And it's not just empty positive self-talk of, I am confident. That. Well, how do you know you're confident? And it's not to create doubt, but it's just like, again, introspection. Mm-hmm. How do you know you're confident? Oh, yeah, because I have this one. I had that one. Because I'm a person who gets up. Because I remember when my mom saw this about me, you know? So I'm all about positive self-talk, but there are, give them the reason they are that.
Yes.
You ever heard somebody talk to you and they praise you and it's just like, well, yeah, you say that to love everybody that. Or really, why do you believe that? And it's like, no. This is why. I could leave it right there. No, I was going to say,
no, I love it.
We actually do that with negative talk too. You say you cannot do this. And then we say, because, and then we fill in the blank.
Because.
So you can look at that inversely. And that's where healthy, positive self-talk comes in.
Yeah, I really do love that. I knew you'd have a great answer to that because.
What's up? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even as adults, right? Like, how many times have you been listening to like an Abraham Hicks tape or like whatever it is that you do in the morning and you're like repeating the affirmation, you're like, I am wealthy, money is flying, I am abundant. And you're like, you feel like, what the hell is this? Like, this does not pertain to me at all. Like, if it's empty, to your point, like, it's the energy that we put behind it. We have to actually believe in what we're saying. That's how it gets invited into your subconscious. And that's how eventually you start to manifest, that's such a dirty word nowadays, or like create these things in your life because you actually do believe what you're selling, right? Like, you're actually drinking the Kool-Aid. You're not just like, you know, trying to like fish around for it, but you have no idea what you're doing. So I love that. So rooting it in a reason. And that brings it back to what you said before, like, we are the type of people that do this, right? Like,
No. I mean, that's exactly. We can look, the reason I look at the world and believe that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, just wanted to fit that in there. But the reason I believe that is because I wake up with gratitude looking. Now, that may have been instilled in me in a younger age, but when I caught drift of, oh, yeah, I can do this. I then made that my practice and I do on purpose. And that's where I said, I'm the creative. I want to see how this universe is working for me. So then I reach for it. That's actually how you instill this in a person.
100%. So as parents, what we can do is we can help, like my daughter, for example, the 16-year-old, when she just came into my life at 4, great family. It was a beautiful, beautiful situation that we just all benefited from. Mm-hmm. But like, she had a rough start. Right? She had a rough start. And so our thing was expect magic. And every day I would walk her to school from our little tiny apartment that we all shared at the time. And I was like, you know, expect magic today. And when you come home, I want you to tell me about it. Like, so she went out and she looked for it and it would look different every day, right? It was a butterfly landing or this thing happened. And as she got older, you know, it was more elaborate, but you're priming your kids to, and yourself, to find the things that you want in life, right?
That's what I was going to say. Particular activating system,
if you're more of the scientific persuasion. Yeah, exactly. I'm picking up on your vibes, man. I love it. You're not too far from me. You're in the Bahamas. I'm in South Florida, so we must be on the same current system. I don't know. That's awesome. Marcus, you have been incredible. This was so fun. I appreciate you bearing the August humidity and heat to be with us. Tell our listeners how they get involved with you, where they find you, the type of offering you have. Would love to have some time for you to share.
Hang out on LinkedIn and I post my ideas, my thoughts, everything there. Creating robust kids who can. I do have my show up framework and the offering that I do have now is I'm positioning it for fathers of HBCUs. Historically black colleges and universities. That's where I went. And that is, I will have workshops on my website in regards to identity and the digital question for this generation. So you can find out stuff at marcushiggs.com or find me on LinkedIn Marcus Aurelius Higgs. Look me up.
I will say, after season one, one of the most serendipitous moments were when I had parents reach out to me that then hooked up with some coaches from our show. And I just got some feedback on, you know, how that affected their kids' lives or their lives and what they've integrated and learned. And it really is the most cool thing ever. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, it's just the best, because you're like, it's like you show up and you're kind of like looking at life like double Dutch, where you're kind of just like, do I get in? And then you finally just jump in and you're like, yeah, like, it just is so cool to see people coming together and getting better. So definitely reach out to Marcus, let him know we sent you. That's amazing. And then parents, you guys know the deal. We're here every week now that we're back from maternity leave and everyone's alive. So we'll be here and we look forward to sharing with you what we're learning. Appreciate you guys being here all the time. Definitely keep the comments coming. It really warms my heart and makes me want to show up every week and do this. So we'll see you guys soon. Until the next perfect time, you guys stay beautiful, stay inspired.